Blog Talk Radio.
James Bostic here, Conservative Perspective on the Patriot Nation Radio Network here at Blog Talk Radio Studios, blogtalkradio.com. What you want to do is you want to go there and you want to look for the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Excuse me. Having some seltzer water, probably not a good idea. Anyway, you go to blogtalkradio.com and then you'll look for Patriot Nation Radio. And there you'll find not only Patriot Nation Radio Live with our good friend Mark Hoffman and longtime wingman, but also ACP. We do it live Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, well, Eastern Time. And we also have a recorded version of the show that goes out on the Talk America Radio Network, talkamericaradio.org. And they have two audio streaming channels there, the Liberty and the Justice Stream. ACP heard on both of those various times throughout the day and week. Folks, just like the tagline said when you linked onto the show, absolutely no idea what I'm going to talk about. None. So it should be a magnificent program. First things first, I had a, I'm looking for it again. It always has been. I had a clip set up, and this has happened a couple times. I'll upload the clip to Blog Talk because I want to use it in the show, and then I'll go through and I'll look for it, and it ain't there. And that's what's happened with two different versions of this clip that I tried to upload tonight. Now, in a week, maybe two, we'll see it again. It'll show up. But it'll be too late by then. What I want to talk about for a little bit, I guess, is James Comey. We haven't talked about Jim Comey in a while. And we haven't talked about John Brennan. Johnny, haven't forgotten about you, sport. Have not forgotten about you. I was just going over my list the other day, checking it a couple times, seeing who's still a commie, and guess what? But we'll get back to Johnny one of these days. He was in Congress. James Comey, former director of the FBI, was on Capitol Hill recently, and I can't remember, and I do not recall, or I do not know, close to 300 times, or varying variations on that theme. Now, this is the guy who built a reputation on having not only a phonogenic memory, means he could remember everything he heard, and a photogenic memory, but it turns out he also has a pornographic memory as well. No, I'm just kidding. But he's built his reputation on being this man who has this remarkably advanced recall system within his massive, big old tall Jim Comey mind, that he can remember, you know, everything he ever heard. He can remember everything he ever said. But then all of a sudden he can't remember anything. He goes to talk to Congress, and he can't remember anything. Now, you would think, given his memory deficits on the questions that he's been asked repeatedly, that he was, you know, there was no question as to whether or not he was too incompetent and unaware to be head of the FBI. And yet he was. The truth is, he has a very good memory, and he is a practiced liar, but not a good one. He thinks he is a cover-up artist. Now, folks, if there's any justice left in this country, he would be charged with a panoply of crimes. Obviously, he should have been fired long ago, certainly on day one of the Trump administration, just like his pal Robert Mueller. Comey has long pretended to be a nonpartisan when, in fact, he is a vicious and supremely arrogant anti-Trump zealot. In the talk he gave at the 92nd Street Y a week ago, he bragged about flaunting the process and took advantage of the chaos of an administration 4 days old. Now, what he's talking about here is when they sent the FBI agents over to interview General Mike Flynn, and they tricked him into doing so without benefit of legal counsel. They misled him as to the nature of this interview, and this was where we see the entrapment on perjury of General Flynn. And we have some interesting stuff we're going to get into maybe a little bit later. I picked up, you know what, here's the thing, man, this stuff, the news cycle is 24/7, and really, I say this a lot. As a matter of fact, I say it practically every program. No clue what I'm going to talk about. No idea. And in a way, I mean, I'm always prepared. I've always got stuff because I do show prep just about round the clock. You have to. You know, if you want to find those stories and figure out how you can tie it together with other stories, you know, some of them you get, some of them you don't. These I kind of get. But anyway, what he's talking about here, when we're talking about this talk at the 92nd Street Y, which I'm guessing is the YMCA, the Trump administration is 4 days in the White House. That's it. And in this, so what they did is Andrew McCabe, James Comey's deputy, calls General Flynn. General Flynn, we got a couple of follow-up questions we want to talk to you about. Not a big deal. What we'd like to do is send a couple guys over. Now, of course, you can have counsel there, but if you get counsel, then I got to grab some lawyers from the Department of Justice, and it's really not that big a thing. What do you say? J- General Flynn says, all right, that sounds fine. These two FBI cats go over, and they interview General Flynn. Now, this is where things get squirrely. Ordinarily, in this process, FBI agents want to talk to a member of the White House staff. We're going to talk to the White House counsel first, and we're going to see what the White House counsel says, and we're going to let the White House counsel find out what these guys want to know, and we'll run it that way. That's how you do this. And Comey knows that's how you do this. That's why he did what he did. In other words, flaunting that process. And on top of that, deceiving and entrapping General Flynn. So, in collusion with John Brennan, there you are, John Boy, in collusion with John Brennan and James Clapper, and Andrew McCabe, and the Clinton campaign, and the Obama administration, James Comey orchestrated the agreed-upon plan to take Trump down and out before the election with their fake dossier, and then, once Trump won, then they had to see that he would not be inaugurated or he would be removed from office post-haste. These are very dangerous people, these self-appointed guardians of their own radical agenda and the power they've attained to protect it. Not one of these guys that we've just mentioned cares about the citizens of this nation. They don't care about you or me. We are a constant thorn in their side. They hate that we have the right to vote and that our votes count. And when our votes don't go their way, they'll find a way to try and reverse our decision. They will lie. They will cheat and steal any election they can, and they get away with it year after year, which is why they remain so stunned that they did not, could not guarantee the election of Hillary Clinton. They're full of rage that their carefully calculated and well-coordinated scheme failed. Not dead air, taking a drink. James Comey is a classic narcissist in the same vein as Barack Obama, arrogant and characterized by a profound sense of superiority. Now, the left commonly calls Donald Trump a narcissist, but he doesn't fit that list of symptoms nearly as perfectly as James Comey does. No narcissist could or would withstand the 24/7 personal attacks hurled at Donald Trump every single day since he announced his candidacy, not one. They would be suicidal. Donald Trump shrugs the left's incessant vilification of him off like a bit of snow on his overcoat. And then he tweets his response, which inflames as well as informs. Donald Trump does not lack empathy, and he is envious of no one. He is a successful, confident man that loves his country. He saw it going down the drain thanks to clowns like these on the progressive left. So he threw his hat in the ring, and he won. Despite the secret strategies of Comey and his pals to see that he would not, because the majority of Americans agree with him, the left is in the business of destroying America as it was founded, and they have been phenomenally successful to that end. Someone from outside D.C. needed to step in and try and save us. Intolerant progressives have virtually criminalized Christianity and Judaism while protecting Islam. Even left-wing Jews are now openly anti-Semitic. Progressives have been largely successful in outlawing the scientific notion of gender to embrace the sheer moon battery of a fluid gender crowd. So besieged with the desperate plight of LGBT persons, millennials actually think that the LGBT crowd makes up about 40% of our population. They actually think that the reality, 4.5% of our population. And for an even smaller percentage of people, elementary school bathrooms have to be open to anyone and everyone, even men pretending to be women. Education, K-12 and the university system is now all about and only about indoctrination. Dead white males like Shakespeare, Charles Dickens, Mark Twain, forbidden. Anyone who thinks their son or daughter will get a decent or get their money's worth in terms of education on any university campus, except Hillsdale and possibly a few others, is sadly misguided. They're going to return from college spouting all the race, class, gender, and climate change bourgeois that is the stuff of education today. They will have learned nothing but contempt for all those people who do not agree with their newfound professor-inculcated intellectual superiority. The mainstream media is an arm of the Democrat, Progressive, Socialist, Communist Party. Our entertainment industry also. We're living in a tyranny, a dictatorship very eerily similar to George Orwell's dystopia in 1984. No freedom of speech. Words no longer mean what they used to mean. Remember when gay meant happy? And all this brings us back to James Comey, a self-appointed member of the Big Brother crowd. He and they will decide who can and will be president. He and they will decide what is justice and who deserves it. We most certainly have a two-tiered system of justice, one for Democrats and elites, and quite another for persons without power or on the wrong side of the left. Hillary Clinton belongs in prison for her many, many crimes over the past three decades, but she remains confident she'll never be charged with any crime. Jim Comey, John Brennan, Andy McCabe, Pete Strzok, Lisa Page, Sally Yates, Rod Rosenstein, and all these others. It's a pretty long list. These people colluded. You want to talk about collusion? These people colluded to prevent Donald Trump from winning the presidency, and to do so, they created out of whole cloth, they manufactured a tale of collusion with Russia. They covered up Clinton's many, many crimes. America, these people don't value the Constitution. They don't value truth. They don't value the rule of law or honor. And yet Comey wrote all about those things in his book, Higher Loyalty. To who? Hillary Clinton? Over 8 years in the Obama administration, the FBI, the CIA, the Department of Justice, and the IRS became weapons of political power in order to destroy the Republican Party. James Comey's been a charter member and a prime mover in this progressive shift towards fascism in America. He is a menace, along with his partners in crime, to American society. Feeling a bit agitated now. And the author of this piece, Patricia McCarthy, she's absolutely right. Let me find. It is a two-tiered system of justice. One for Democrats and the elites, quite another for folks like us. That is not what the founders envisioned. But again, these guys don't care about the Constitution. Constitution is an obstacle to them, a hindrance, a drift anchor on their path to power to place us on a road to tyranny. James Comey, oleaginous James Comey. Another one of the things that's kind of been hot in the news lately, last week, at the end of last week, and people were kind of worked up about it over the weekend, and that was the there was a sharp turn of events in Michael Flynn's sentencing trial. And this kind of ties in with oleaginous Jim. The judge in this case is a fellow by the name of Emmett G. Sullivan. And he is a judge who is pretty much no nonsense. He's already called the Flynn prosecutorial team from the Mueller probe. He's called them on the carpet a couple of times about some slipshod work that they've done and threatened to hold them in contempt if they didn't straighten up. Well, last week, just days, in which, if I'm not mistaken, today was supposed to be that day in which General Michael Flynn was going to be sentenced, he wanted to see some documents. They're called 302s. And what the 302 is a written synopsis of an FBI agent's interview with an individual. Doesn't necessarily have to be someone suspected of anything, but it's a written synopsis of an FBI agent's interrogation of an individual. So he asks for the 302 reports concerning Michael Flynn's interview. Well, the FBI doesn't give them to him. They give him another 302 that relates to Andrew McCabe, who speaks in reference to the 302s that the judge wants. Well, that didn't go over too well. And so Mueller gave him the 302s. Well, conventional thinking speculated that this means, aha, this guy's finally going to call the Mueller team out on their egregious prosecutorial misconduct and you know, this whole, all the shenanigans these cats are pulling. Well, not exactly. The story's taken a sudden kind of a turn, and according to Morgan Chalfant from The Hill, I think that's where I got this from, yeah, here's what's going on. Former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn today requested to postpone his sentencing for lying to FBI agents about his contacts with a Russian ambassador until his cooperation with federal prosecutors is fully complete. Let that sink in for a moment. If he was to be sentenced today, one would think his cooperation would be complete. Otherwise, there would be no need for sentencing. The surprise decision by Flynn's defense attorneys came after U.S. District Judge Emmett Sullivan admonished Flynn, a retired three-star Army general, for committing a serious offense by lying to the FBI about his discussions with then-Russian Ambassador Sergei Kislyak about sanctions on Moscow while serving in a high-level role at the White House. This is a very serious offense, Sullivan, in federal court, said. A high-ranking senior official of the government making false statements to the Federal Bureau of Investigation while on the physical premises of the White House. Sullivan also asked Flynn and his counsel whether they would want to delay the sentencing, seemingly hinting that Flynn would face a tough sentence if the decision had gone through on Tuesday. Judge Sullivan also noted that he would take Flynn's public service and cooperation with Mueller's investigation into account, but would also weigh heavily the gravity of his offense. Sullivan also suggested that in delaying his sentencing until his full cooperation in the Mueller investigation, that it could result in a lesser sentence. So, after a nail-biting recess, Flynn's attorneys took Sullivan up on that offer, citing foreign lobbying charges unveiled Monday against Flynn's former business associate and noting it was likely he would testify at an upcoming trial in that case. There's that additional modicum of cooperation that he expects to provide in the Eastern District. And for that reason, said Robert Kellner, who's one of Flynn's attorneys, we are prepared to take Your Honor up on the suggestion to delaying sentencing. Flynn was in court to be sentenced today on one count of false statements to the FBI. It was a charge he pled guilty to a year ago as part of a deal to cooperate in Mueller's sprawling Russia investigation. Flynn was facing minimal prison time. Federal sentencing guidelines called for him to face between 0 and 6 months and a fine of $5,000 to $9,500. Mueller recommended a lenient sentence, citing Flynn's, quote, substantial assistance in the investigation into whether members of the Trump campaign coordinated with Russia. Flynn's sentencing was expected to be a key milestone in the Mueller investigation, coming 1 year after he pled guilty. Mueller's team had repeatedly delayed his sentencing before asking Sullivan in September to schedule it, a signal that government prosecutors believed they had gotten all the information they could out of the one-time Trump campaign surrogate. Brandon von Grack, one of Mueller's prosecutors, said Tuesday, it remains a possibility that Flynn's cooperation in the Russia investigation is not fully complete, but noted the government decided to move to sentencing because, quote, substantial assistance condition had been met and the vast majority of cooperation had been realized. The hearing capped a week of high drama surrounding Michael Flynn's case after his attorneys had suggested in a filing last week that Flynn had been wronged by the FBI agents who interviewed him, noting they did not warn him that it was a crime to lie to the FBI. Like, I think he probably knew that. And that the interview was conducted without White House counsel present. We talked about that earlier. Now, these developments have fed a theory among conservatives that Flynn had been entrapped by the Bureau of Investigation and unfairly entangled in Mueller's probe. Sullivan said Tuesday the filing concerned him because Flynn raised issues that may affect or call into question his guilty plea, at the very least, his acceptance of his guilty plea. Sullivan's referring to himself and whether he would accept this plea. Flynn's attorneys said Tuesday they didn't believe Flynn had been entrapped by the Bureau, but chose to include details about his interview so that the judge could compare Flynn's case to others who have been charged and sentenced for the same crime in connection with Mueller's investigation. Flynn's service as Trump's national security advisor was short-lived, lasting just weeks before he was forced to resign in February 2017 over revelations he'd misled Vice President Pence about his conversations with Ambassador Kislyak. Months later, Flynn admitted to lying during his January 24, 2017 interview with the FBI when he claimed not to have spoken to Kislyak about sanctions levied on Moscow for Russian interference the month before. It remains unclear when the special counsel's probe is going to wrap up. In the meantime, Trump has continued to launch broadsides against Mueller for running what he claims is an illegal and partisan witch hunt. The investigation has ensnared multiple Trump associates. In addition to Flynn, they include Paul Manafort and Michael Cohen, the president's former personal attorney, who was sentenced to 3 years for campaign finance, false statements, and other charges last week. What a tangled web we weave. Hydra, ladies and gentlemen, you hear me? Hydra. Okay, we're down to the bottom of the hour. I'm going to scroll down here and I'm going to find something for us to listen to. I'm going to take a quick break and we will be back with more of a conservative perspective right after this. Hey. Good to be here with you. Welcome back, A Conservative's Perspective here at Blogs Radio, blogsradio.com. You go there, look for Patriot Nation Radio. That's where you'll find ACP twice a week live. Yes, absolutely. Go right ahead and do that. Good to be here with you. Still trying to kind of collect myself on this whole. And you know what? Here's the thing. It's what is today? Today's December 18th. We are a week away from Christmas. So, oh gosh, that means that. Let's see here. This is next Tuesday night. It's Christmas Eve. And I'm not sure if I'm going to do a show or not. I may just do like a Christmas show. I don't know. We'll see. I remember the first time, it was one of my favorite live radio shows. How this all started was when I lived in another town, probably about 45 minutes away from here. I was, the church that I went to, the church that I was going to at the time, had a radio station, contemporary Christian radio station, WRLB 95.3 FM, Heart Healthy Radio. So I was, and I the girl who ran the station, and a lot of this stuff is automated, you know, it's all canned, everything's, it's all on computer. You don't spin platters like you used to. And one day after church, I said, listen, if you need somebody to read copy for PSAs or, you know, church bulletins or something like that, I would be happy to do that. I would like to do that for the church. And she said, well, that would be awesome. Thank you so much. And back at the very dawn of the big 80s, back about 1982, for about a month and a half, 2 months, 3 months, something like that, I worked as a DJ, midnight to six, and nobody listened. You know, it was AM station, hometown AM station, but it was a lot of fun, man. I was Dr. Johnny Fever, and that was a dream. Radio has always been my thing, and you guys that know me, and I've said it a million times, radio's, that's my gig. That's what I like. That's my thing. So anyway, and this is going back about 15 years ago, I guess. At least 12. And they wanted somebody to do their afternoon evening drive, which was 5 to midnight. Now, again, I've told you many, many times, radio is a remarkably illusory business. All this stuff is on, it's all canned. And I have a computer screen. When I would go into the studio to record this 7 hours of radio from 5 p.m. to 12 a.m. next day, and I would go in, and there would be like two or three songs would play, and I would hear like the last 10 seconds of a song, and it would show me what was playing was up there, and then I would hit the microphone, Power 95.3 Heart Healthy Radio, WRLB, I'm James Bostic, that was Jesus Take the Wheel, you know, and coming up, we've got this, that, and the other, the weather. Here's what we got going on weather-wise. Plus, in church news, we've got this. And it was boom, boom, boom. It was very formulaic, but it sounded spontaneous. It sounded very, you know, very Johnny announcer. But it was also, you know, it sounded, you know, like it was there. It takes about an hour and 20 minutes using that particular system to generate 7 hours of radio. Yeah. So kind of forgot where I was going with this. Anyway, that's how I got my start. That's how I got my start in the radio business. In the news cycle, or wanting to do, this is what I always wanted to do. I went from doing that. I went from being a contemporary Christian radio jock to, they sold the station. The church sold the station. They wanted to generate some revenue for some other projects that the pastor had in mind. So they sold the station. However, he would not sell the station unless they took me with him. I'm not exactly sure if I should be flattered by that or not. But anyway, that was the deal. And it led to a tremendously invaluable experience. I got to work with a guy named Rock Gerald, who's a terrific dude. He's still in the radio business down there. He's the radio man in Greenbrier County, no doubt about it. And he's a terrific guy to work for, and he taught me a lot about live radio. And I did a lot of different things. I did like the, you know, every year when the State Fair of West Virginia came to its home in Greenbrier County, WRON and that chain of radio stations there, the four of them were on the spot, and we were there at the fair. And I would we did live broadcasts from the goat judging. We got the results from the goat judging and all the livestock shows, and we would go live a couple times during the day with the winners. We would interview the people. I did a man on the street kind of thing where I would talk to the fairgoers, and it was just invaluable experience of talking to people, but talking with a purpose, see. And then I got to do some sports casting. I got to be the anchor for the halftime show for a local high school basketball team. Lots of fun. But my very first live radio appearance here on I guess it was the first live incarnation of a conservative's perspective, which by that time had been going on for a couple of years in an hour long recorded version over at Red State. And then Red Star, and then Talk, and then now Talk America. We kind of went from a couple different places, but now we're with Don Newman and Donna Fiducia and Ron Phillips and Mojo Radio 50 and all the great hosts and programs at Talk America Radio. But that first night, I went on the radio. It was with a place called WINN, run by this character named Bobby B. Singer. What a guy. And he talked to me. He said, here's what we need. We got a show coming up this Sunday, and it's going to be like a panel discussion show, roundtable show. And it's going to be for an hour, and we need somebody to moderate it. And, you know, I had made contact with a guy to pitch him the idea of posting a link to my show on his social media pages, which I did. So I said, well, I've never done live radio in this particular form. I've done news broadcasts. I've done sports casting. Excuse me. But then I thought to myself, you know, radio is radio. This is what you wanted to do, and you want to do it live. Well, you know, come on, let's go see what's happening. So I told the guy, yeah, all right, I'll be your moderator. And what are we going to talk about? And he said, well, we'll get that information to you. I'm going to set you up with Lisa, and she's going to give you all the technical information on how to log on and get ready, you know, for the show, because it's going to be coming up Sunday, which, you know, this was like Tuesday. So Lisa educates me on how to run the board here at Blog Talk Radio. And as the time comes on, I'm becoming a little more comfortable with the idea of doing what I have so envied so many other guys for doing. Limbaugh and Hannity and Mike Savage and Larry King. And Larry King was kind of a fizzle, but I liked him. Art Bell, all these legends in talk radio, primarily conservative talk radio, but but these talk radio legends. And here I have the opportunity to do what they do in the same sphere of influence, you know, politics, news and commentary. My dream. Hand it to me. Here you go, dude. Have at it. Well, up until this point, which we're moving into the weekend, it has not occurred to me that this particular Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I'm going on at 6 p.m. I'm going on at 6 p.m. on Super Bowl Sunday. And I sat down for him and I said, man, he's got to be kidding me. Are you for real, dude? Seriously? Well, by God, I'm just not going to show up, which didn't happen. I did show up. And there was one other person who heard my voice besides me. There was Dixie Blue, my Australian Shepherd, because she was laying close by. But the girl who was working the board at that time, and it was a lady by the name of Darlene Bond, and she's no longer with us, but she was a wonderful person, and she was very encouraging that night. We talked a little bit before the program came on, and she kind of laughed when I told her basically the bill of goods I had been sold, and then, you know, none of these cats show up if they were even going to show up. And I was stuck doing an hour. And you want to talk about somebody that, and it was, I hated it at the time, but in retrospect, it was a tremendous experience to get to work with the clutch in. And by that, I mean, it's live radio. What you say is what you say. As a great American educator, Renee Miner, used to say, you cannot push the poop, although she did not use the word poop, back up into the mule. So it's out there. Once you say it, you own it. You can't. That's it. So, you know, but we were the only two people that heard that show. I doubt they have it back that far, because like I said, that was about 4 years ago. And I would love to hear an archive. I would love to hear an archive if we could find an archive of that press. So, but that was my baptism of fire. And after that, I knew it would not matter. It would not matter who I was talking to, or by and large, what I was talking about. I like the news and commentary thing, and I like the politics and world news deal. That's just kind of like my element, and that's where I've naturally gravitated. But personally, I would also love to lend my voice to radio theater. I think I would have slayed it in the 30s and 40s as a radio leading man. I just love that. But those kind of things, I just like it. I like doing it. And that's one of the joys for me about being able to live in the times we live in. And I've said this a million times. Nowadays, a good USB microphone will cost you less than $50. Seriously. And that's a good one. You could spend more, and really, I mean, you don't have to spend a whole lot of money to get really good equipment, is what I'm talking about, or equipment that will provide you with some pretty decent quality in your broadcast playback. And anyone can do it. It's like Primo Mondoni once told me, and he was the founder of Red State Radio, Red State Talk Radio. And he didn't like what he was seeing in terms of the direction that the country was going during the Obama years. And he felt like he had something to say. And by God, he went out and started saying it. He just, you know, he just splashed in there. He was a gifted man in terms of IT and communications technologies anyway, but he took that knowledge and applied it to podcasting. And because of Primo, because he found me, I was just throwing my show out there on Podomatic for kicks to see what it would do. And he came across it one day and introduced me to the world of podcasting, conservative radio in the podcast format. And it was a tremendous experience. And he was a great guy. He's no longer with us as well. And I think he would be really proud of what Red State in its way fundamentally morphed into by becoming Talk America. It's just a different incarnation because so much of that DNA from the Red State talk radio days came in to Talk America. And it's just a great natural next step. But for $100 total, if you wanted to buy some really good recording or editing software, there's stuff free on the internet. I've been using the same recording stuff for the last 4 years, and it's just tremendous, reliable, easy to use stuff. A decent microphone, some good and services like Blog Talk, for example. You know, we're doing it live. I'm not necessarily a caller driven show, but we do have callers pop in from time to time, and you know, that's how we do the call-in interviews, just like the big guys. And it doesn't cost a whole lot per month. I got a pretty good deal. And then I sometimes ramble about their, you know, I grumble about their technological hiccups, but all things being, you know, equal, they've done a very good job of us. And I mean, there's a lot of people that use it. And there's all kinds of platforms out there. Blog Talk's a good one. In spite of its faults, and it does have them. But Podomatic is a good one. Podbean, there's a lot of places. And what I guess I'm trying to do is, if you want to try and do this, do it. Do it. You know how long it took me to decide that I wanted to basically talk to myself? Because that's what I'm doing. If nobody's listening, I'm just doing it, you know, all throughout the galaxy on the internet. But it took me 4 years. And that was with extensive terrestrial radio experience. It took me 4 years to get up the stones, to get a microphone, figure out how to get started, and then sit down and do it. Show together and do it. I'm tired of the news. And I know it does seem like I'm rambling a little bit, but you know what? That's cool. I'm tired of the news. It's getting close to Christmas, and the fact of the matter is, sometimes you got to step away from this stuff because it gets toxic. Positively toxic. And I think because where I've been following it kind of close here lately, I think that's what's kind of been happening. That's what's happened to me is sometimes watching this stuff and the ups and downs and the back and forth, it wears you down. It wears you down. I'm trying to find something I want to share with you here in the, and I'm not finding it. Well, we'll take a little break and we'll play this. Till I can find it. Hopefully I can. We'll be back in just a minute. Where is that?
Time in my life when I was down so low, a mosquito wouldn't even bite me. I lost my job, my four-wheel drive. I even got thrown out of my trailer. All because of one thing. Freebasing cocaine. That's all my life was basing. Nothing else. I was on that last lap with that checkered flag about to weigh me on into hell. But I got lucky. I got in a rehab program down there at Redstone Arsenal down there in Alabama. And with them people helping me, well, that smoky white devil is no longer a part of my life. And I can proudly say that today, I do not freebase cocaine. Now, I'll take a drink now. I will take a drink, but I do not freebase cocaine. But, you know, I'll take a drink, and I might even smoke a little reefer. You know, I like to smoke reefer. You know, it relaxes me and everything. A couple of doobies, you know, just to get you through the day and everything. But as far as basing goes, I don't do it. Now, I'll do some toot now. Don't get me wrong. I will do some toot, you know. You know, if you party and everything, somebody comes up and give it to you, it's impolite not to take it there. So me and my girlfriend, Sally, we party, man. I tell you, we do party. So, you know, I will do some toot. We do, you know, on a good weekend there, we call a bunch of friends over, we do about an 8-ball of toot there. But we don't base. I do not free-base cocaine. We'll make that clear. I don't do it. Well, I tell you what, that drinking now, I will not drink that tequila. Now, I tell you what, the last time I drank it, I got wild and everything. My girlfriend said I beat up on Sally. And, you know, when I done that, it hurt me a lot more than it does her when I'm beating the hell out of her. So I don't drink that tequila now. I don't do any basing. I do not freebase. That's two things I don't do. I'm no longer part of my life. But I tell you what, I will tequila. I admit, I do drink it about twice a year, you know. I drank some tequila, and of course, when I do drink it, Sally, you better look out, because you know I'm going to go upside that head now. Oh, but basing I don't do. I heard somewhere coffee's bad for you, that caffeine mess. I read that somewhere. So I do that speed, get back up again. Of course, you got to get ready the next day, and going all day long, partying and everything. But as far as basing goes, I don't do that. I will not free base cocaine. I don't touch it. Unless it's my birthday or something, man, a special occasion, I'll get out that pipe and I'll base. I won't freebase cocaine if I'm behind the wheel of a car. I won't do it. If I'm driving the car, I won't do it unless, you know, you stop in traffic. You know you're going to be there a while, ain't nothing on radio. I'll pull out that pipe and I'll base. But I will not freebase cocaine if I'm in church. I will not freebase cocaine in church, unless, you know, it's during the hymn and I don't like something. I might get out that pipe and I'll base in it. I admit it. And I won't do it during the sermon, though. I will not freebase cocaine in church during the sermon unless I've heard it before. Unless, you know, I've heard that song. I don't want to hear the same thing again. You just don't want to sit there and do nothing. So I'll get out that pipe and I'll base. But I won't do it. I will not do it at the altar. I will not. I can tell you right now, I've been through that rehab, and freebasing no longer part of my life.
This message brought to you by the Redstone Drug Rehabilitation Center, reminding you to just say nope to dope.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
Well, I guess you can tell by now that I couldn't find what I was looking for, which is not surprising because I'm not sure what it was to start out with. 60 seconds left, mercifully, and you know what? That's great, because I've about run out of gas on this thing. Anyway, ACP is heard here live, Tuesdays, Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, blogtalkradio.com. You look for the Patriot Nation Radio Network, and Tuesdays, Thursdays, 7 p.m., ACP, right here. We also have a recorded version of the show that goes out over the Talk America Radio Network, talkamericaradio.org. You go there, they have two audio streams, the Liberty and the Justice stream, and you can hear ACP at various times throughout the day and the week there. That's all the time we got. Thank you so much for spending a little bit of time talking about stuff. We'll be back on Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern, taking a look at things as we do through a conservative perspective. God bless each and every one of you. God bless America. We'll see you on Thursday, Lord willing, and the river don't rise.